keep them in a box. I put them and I keep them in a box.
I keep them in a box and I look at them and I go.
We love to collect things. So, what flavor was that?
Freshly showered.
Freshly showered.
This is for the Patreon.
Yeah. Yes, this is for the Patreon.
Only the top tier Patreon.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Top tier Patreon, you get here, Stephanie smelling.
Your subs just went straight through the roof.
Hi, welcome to Two Lacquered Ladies, the podcast about nail polish and nail art by the ladies who stream it. I'm Stephanie, aka Fanatic, here on every social media platform that matters. I'm an unprofessional nail artist, and I like to make fan art on my nails.
Howdy, my name is Danny, and you can find me as Danny Shout online. I'm a science educator by day and a nail art hobbyist by night. On stream, I like to create scenes with themes on my nails.
Welcome back, everybody!
Well, hi there.
Well, hi there!
It's now a tradition, we gotta do the Southern cat.
I saw you doing that on your video.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't help it. Sorry, I just got hit by a sudden, terrible smell. I think my lizard just pooped.
Do you need to?
No, it's bioactive. It'll break down, but just if you see me scrunching my face.
Do you want to not sit in the lizard poop smell?
I have no other place to sit, so.
All right, we're just gonna deal with that.
We're just gonna it's part of the package deal.
You know what? Sometimes you gotta suffer for your art of owning a lizard.
You do.
Which is
Yeah. I'm hoping he actually earns me some bonus points on this last test I did, because the bonus question was, what is your favorite extant ectotherm, meaning currently existing cold-blooded, quote-quote, animal? And I was like, well, I love the diversity of lizards, but mostly I love that I have a lizard. And I included some pictures of him and told his little story. So I'm hoping my professor is like, aw, and gives me like lots of points. But we'll see.
But anyway, how have you been doing, Danny? It's been 2 weeks.
It has, yeah. I've been crazy busy. April is nuts for teachers, especially teachers who teach state-tested subjects. Because, yeah, that's all I'm worth. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. My essence gets boiled down to the scores I can pull out of these unwilling children. But it's almost over, and I'm so happy for it.
Yeah, and it's on your birth month, too. It happens at your birthday dinner. Sorry.
I know. At least the kids are like, they wish me a happy birthday, and they're like, what can we get you? And I'm like, just pass.
Just study.
That's all I can, please. But no, it was a nice birthday week. The eclipse was in my birthday week, and we didn't see anything. But I had a lovely lunch with my mother-in-law. We went outside, and it was thunderstorming, so we kind of squinted at the sky, and we're like, well, it's darker. And that's what we saw. So
yes. And we also had a nice little collab for you. I was very excited.
Did. I love the Anything But Polish collab. It makes me so happy seeing all the little creative ways people decorate their nails. Remind me, Stephanie, I'm gonna pull up the hashtag here, but remind me what you can remember what everyone did.
Oh, gosh, what everyone did. So let's see. We had some like Legos and googly eyes from Chic Nail Geek. We had lizard skin from Lacquer Dactyl.
Oh, no, snake skin.
Oh, snake skin. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that was awesome.
And after Wendy did hyacinths from her front lawn.
Yes. And I love how she did them up. She didn't like pull off the petals. They were just on she had some height on those nails. It was beautiful.
But yeah, go through and Gidge did fur. It was so cool. Oh, polished mess did ramen because you love Jenna Marbles.
Yes. Bringing back the Ratchet Salon.
Oh, so cute. And then some people did cheat a little bit, like our beloved Deanna painted Coco, her chihuahua's nails.
That was perfectly acceptable.
Yeah. I was like, do what you want. Danny will love it. Like, even if it's not, just show Danny some love.
Yeah. And I felt so loved. I'm going to be honest. I wasn't expecting a collab. Like, just completely slipped my mind that that was a possibility. So I was very excited to see all those messages come in with the nail. So thank you, Steph, for hosting a birthday collab for me. It was so sweet.
You're so welcome. There was another entry, though. Somebody did what I have never seen before and have always wanted to. But our friend Aculid Nails did a full mani of liquid latex. And he's here right now.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, everybody.
Surprise, you're on our show. How are you doing?
I am lovely. How are you two doing?
We are okay.
Living, existing, not necessarily existence. Thriving, but you know, we will. Summer is coming soon.
Amen. Just got to get through April and May.
Yep.
We have two teachers here and someone who's never considered teaching. So yeah, I'm expecting just nonstop teacher talk.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Don't
Sorry,
get me started. I will tangent.
We have already had a very long teacher talk. I was just like,
you could hear Dani giggle when she saw my face when she said state testing. some metaverse for all the listeners. The giggle was because my face was horrendous at just the mention of it.
Yeah, state testing's really messed up. That's my hot take on it. But it's been so long. But yeah, so we have Jeremy, aka Aculid Nails here, which, by the way, I just want to bring this up and let me know if you want me to cut it, because I'll be saying your real last name, but you seem pretty open about it. So your last name is DeLuca, and
correct,
that's where you get your name from, Aculid. Was that
yes,
inspired by the fact that there are so many vampires in anime named Alucard because it's Dracula backwards?
No, but later on, I discovered that. So seventh grade, we had this class, this like technology class where there are a bunch of different stations and stuff like CAD drawing or flight simulator or t-shirt design. And you always got paired up with different people. And I got paired up with this kid with the last name Zolot. And we were on the t-shirt one, and we were just putting our last names on the t-shirt because we were in seventh grade, and at that point our creativity was just get through the class. And we printed them backwards because we were in seventh grade and we didn't know what the hell we were doing. And it was Tolaz and Aculid, and we were like, these are so much better than our actual names. Okay, so we'll keep that. So then it just kind of became like a gamer tag for me whenever, like if I needed a name or if I needed a screen name. Oddly enough, it wasn't my AIM screen name, but that's because I already had one. But it just became like the, oh, you need a name for a person in a game, Aculid. Or Jaluka, which is like DeLuca with the J for Jeremy, which is like that. Those are my two that I go between. And my normal Instagram already had that in it. So I was like, I'll just make the nail version. But later, I didn't even realize, because I don't like vampires. So I didn't realize it until later. I'm like, Alucard's all these people. And they're like, is that what you? I'm like, no, why? Why do you think I'm a vampire child?
I did the thing. I'm so sorry.
I was like, oh, no.
I want to unpack this because we are a vampire loving community. We love cringe vampires who sparkle.
Oh, we do. Yeah. I didn't when it first came out, but they have converted me. We've watched the movies together.
I was converted by Nikki, and then I have turned everybody in my community, as they say. Let's unpack that. Why do you not like vampires?
They creep me. I think they just creep me out of child. I remember the Gary Oldman Dracula movie, and that terrified me. Like I am not a jump scare person. I don't like scary things purely because I don't enjoy the act of being scared. So like, same with like roller coasters. I love going fast and spinning, but I hate the feeling of dropping. So like I don't get the adrenaline rush on a roller coaster that drops. I'll get it on one that goes really fast or stuff that like spins your brain out of your ears. That I'm fine with. But like jump scares, like my reaction is to punch, not to like scream and then be like, that was enjoyable. I just get like angry. So I will only do. On the last band trip we went on, it was like during Halloween time, and the group of fun parents that I was hanging out with wanted to go into one of the haunted things at Cedar Point, and I was like, no, but okay, I'm not going to be that person that sits out. So I made sure I was like three people in, and it just hung on, and there was a really tall dad in the front, and me and his wife were right behind him, so they would always jump out at him. He would scream, we would laugh at him, and then we never got any of the jump scares because they were resetting. So that was like the perfect, like, I could just laugh my whole way. But if I was in the front, I would have been kicked out for like punching some poor 17-year-old in a mask because they my reaction is just
the
bam.
First time I ever went to Not Scary Farm, I did hit a guy with a bladeless chainsaw in the face with my purse.
It's a natural reaction.
The natural reaction. That was like, I was really into scary stuff at that time.
They're asking for it.
But I eventually did learn to love that. And actually at my like bachelorette party, we went to the Queen Mary. I got married in October. So we went to the Queen Mary's, like my wife, by the way, the Queen Mary, her Halloween event. And like some people actually didn't want to go. So they went and saw Frankenweenie because I guess that's what was coming out that year. And then I went to the Queen Mary and they put me in front because they were like, this is what you wanted to do. So you get in front. And we were walking down this hallway where there was like, I think it was a person in like a big robe. But there were clacking noises and the shadow of the robe and the light. I thought it was like a mechanical spider. I was so terrified more than I'd ever been in any maze, and it was amazing and I loved it. So you and I could not be any more different.
no I mean, kudos to, like, I know I don't like it, so I just like don't. And like I remember in high school that my friends would be, you gotta conquer your fear. I'm like, I'm not afraid of roller coasters. I'm not, like, I just don't like my reaction to it is, this is not fun. Not because, like, I watch people that like get the jump scare and then they're immediately like,
yeah.
I'm like, I have adrenaline. I need to break things. Yeah. Like that is my reaction to it. So it's like I'm just not gonna do it. But like I watch vampire movies now. It's just not like my go to. I'm not like freaked out like a child I was with like Gary Oldman, like as he's crawling up the wall and like licking the razor. And I'm like, that's creepy. I don't like that.
Okay, so I've never actually seen that version of Dracula, but every time people bring it up, they talk about how hot Gary Oldman is, and there's always
young.
But there's always
with the hair.
There's always a picture of him with like a top hat and weird glasses, and I'm like, I don't see
that.
It.
It's the kind of like steampunky, like the young Dracula when he goes to England. Yeah,
yeah.
He looks very much like his Sirius Black character, it was like 10 years earlier, so
yeah,
a little bit younger and a little more like he's meant to be, like, ooh, because that's where he's picking up whoever, whatever.
Yeah,
I do. I did enjoy Van Helsing though, like the cheesy 2004 that one. Like, it's the like when it's meant to be creepy. I don't enjoy it. If it's like either cheesy on purpose or cheesy by accident, then that's totally fine.
Oh, I love that. I love both. Ends of that spectrum. Very scary and also like, this is ridiculous. Okay, enough with the vampire talk, although I would just talk about vampires.
Yeah, that wasn't on the question list.
Again, not where I expected the first question to go, but I like it.
I told you, it always goes in weird ways. So anyway, if you do not know Aculid Nails, he is an incredible nail artist. I have just been floored, right, Danny?
Oh yeah, no, I'm scrolling through your Instagram and it's amazing. It really is the work you do.
Oh,
and
thank you.
The consistency, it blows my mind. That is not something I've ever been able to do.
Oh my god, another Virgo! Get out!
That's what it is. We love Virgos.
We love the Virgos. yeah, I have a fatal attraction to Virgos and they have a fatal attraction to me because I'm an Aries. And if you saw the floor here, you would be like,
this is why the camera is pointing this direction.
Oh, absolutely.
My house does not look like a Virgo lives here.
Okay.
And I don't even know what anything other than I can say I'm a Virgo, but I don't know any of the other ones. So I'm also, that pretty much means nothing to me. But I'm assuming when you say Aries, you mean you're like all over the place. Is that what an Aries is?
Yeah. My house also doesn't look like a Virgo lives here because I have a Virgo does live here. And his house looked like a Virgo lived there before we started living together. And now it looks like an Aries lives there.
Aries rising or whatever.
Yes.
Mercury is always in retrograde on your floor.
You don't even know the half of it. I have my Shamoon DVD. I have like a million little platforms for nails.
We learned anything from COVID, it was how to find a good corner in your house to make you look like a presentable human.
Mm-hmm. There's one corner that has its life together. That's it.
I'm not even using mine. Normally, I just use that wall that none of you can see. I just use the kitchen wall.
I love
and
that.
And it looks like I have a backdrop behind me. But there was a for one of my virtual concerts, the holiday concerts, we had these massive styrofoam nutcrackers that are like 20 years old that I just decided to redo and cover them in glitter, as one does. And so we just had these nutcrackers, that like 20-foot nutcracker parts in our apartment during COVID, of course. And we had finished one. And so like to start my intro, we set it up like in front of the door so it looked like we had a nice window. We put the only wreath that stays up year-round on the door behind me. I sat on a stool and we stacked up a bunch of boxes, put half a nutcracker next to me, and I like did my intro, and I'm like in basically underwear at below the waist.
Yes!
Like, the nutcracker has no legs. The dog is like running around peeing on the stool underneath it. I'm like, happy holidays from us.
So what it's like when the president makes his holiday address. That's what you don't see.
Yeah. Exactly.
No pants.
Exactly.
Dog peeing on everything. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It's how we like it. But yeah, so you're really getting the tangent time experience today, and I'm so happy about that.
I warned you, don't get me started, because we'll end up in a different country if you let me keep talking. So
I'm loving it. But yeah, your nail art is absolutely next level. It is almost all hand-drawn. And it is a style that I like to call nail arty. which is very simple, but really extremely effective images. Is that how you kind of see what you do?
Yeah. I mean, I'm never really like going for, I normally think of a theme or like I'm inspired by something. So I'm really not going for like necessarily a look. Like looking, if I scroll through, I'll be like, okay, I have an obvious like aesthetic. But also, it's also very random. Like, I normally don't do that on purpose. Of like, okay, I did this, now my favorite Monty Python quote, and now for something completely different. But I also don't want to do like three yellow things in a row. But I'm normally going after like a theme rather than like, I want to try to do this like hyper realistic. I've tried a couple things. I think there was, I forget, I did a Manny swap, a twin with Kimmy, and she did this like Monet thing, and that kind of like pushed me out of my technical design wheelhouse of like, okay, now you got to figure out like how do you do impressionist art on your fingers. But normally I'm not thinking of style. Normally I'm thinking of, this is what I want to do. What can I do to pull it off? So like, is this going to be like this reverse stamp is what inspired me? Is it like, I'm going to have to, there are a lot of things if I scroll back that I didn't do because I didn't think I could. And then once I kind of got enough confidence of like, I think I might be able to pull this off, then I did the inspo. So the technique and my style is more like what I can pull off rather than actually the on the forefront. It's normally the inspiration that gets me going.
You mentioned graphic design, and I absolutely see that in your manis, and it's something that I desperately want to be better at in mine. Just like the overall look of your manis, the way that things are positioned, and what am I trying to say? I love it.
Composition. Yeah. So, and yeah, I see what you were saying earlier, Steph, about like the nail artiness of it, because you do a lot of gradients. You do a lot of like combining of, I see a lot of like dotting tools combined with some freehanding and stuff. Like it really is. Yeah, it's kind of something you'd see in a salon. Like, it's really nice looking. What is your favorite technique to do?
Oh, gradients, hand down.
I was going to say gradients, because I see a lot of gradients and water
marbles. Hands down. That, like, a smooth, buttery, that's what I use the liquid latex the most for, is just is doing sponge gradients. And I kind of have that down pat of like how I do them. And I think a lot of times, like you're talking about, I think one of you said composition. I was legitimately thinking that the other day, that most of the ones that like I feel really good about after I've done them, were successful because the composition was successful, not necessarily my technique, how I executed it, or the inspiration. It's okay, what idea when I got it? Like, I just did a Gambit one.
Yeah.
Because I've been watching X-Men 97, and like that, the fifth episode made me be like, I need to do a Gambit nail now. I was just, it was inspo. Same with music. If I have a song stuck in my head, I'm the type that will listen to it 80 billion times until it burns its way out, or I will start arranging it. And so, like, my computer is full of 75% completed pieces of music of a song I had stuck in my head, and the only way to get it out was to figure out how it works. And then once I like open the hood and be like, I can write it, I can play it, it's no longer my obsession. So it's like I'll get it stuck in my head, and it was just Gambit. So I was like, okay. And then the composition of that, I was really happy with that, and it's mainly down to the composition of it. Like, there are things in there that I'm like, I wish I did that cleaner, or I wish I did that better, but how I laid it out, I was like, that is what made it more successful than other ideas I had, etc.
And yes, your composition, absolutely flawless. You're criticizing yourself for like it not being perfect, but these six pack abs, they're perfect.
I know. Also, I like, stared at a lot of inspirational images to make sure I got the proportion and the lighting and the shading on his pecs and abs.
Yeah.
I had to do them justice. If I was going to paint a duster and a chest on my ring finger, it had to look good.
And it was just for research, right? You just took no personal research pleasure in that.
No. They I don't know if it was episode 1 or 2 of the X-Men 97, but when they put Gambit in a crop top making beignets in the kitchen one morning, I was like, you know exactly what you are doing. And then this is my geekiness. Again, I'm not even like a comic book nerd. I'm just like a massive nerd on everything.
Yeah.
But I saw they had interviews, and the voice actor at some interview is wearing, like, he made the generic rock shirt that he had as a crop top, and he's wearing it to like all these interviews. I was like, you knew exactly what you were doing. You sneaky Disney people.
Oh my God. Now I know why you asked me. He asked me the other day if I was into X-Men. And
I was talking to, like, okay, who's a nerd? Because I just painted abs on my finger. I need to show someone. And I want to show someone that's like, yes, I'm a massive X-Men fan. So yeah, they can be like, oh my God, Gambit. As opposed to like, oh yeah, you painted abs. Why did you send that to me at 11:39 at night? Okay, thanks.
Okay, let me make something clear. If you send me abs you painted on your nails any time of the day or night, I'm never going to side-eye you about that. Yeah. I will stand up and applaud no matter what I'm doing.
I'll just have to do a collection, because if there's anything else I love, it's like collections of things. Mm. So now I'm going to have to – there have been a couple nail arts that it's like, okay, this is going to become a reoccurring like – theme that I'm gonna have to do all 12 of them. So now I'm just gonna have to do like just abs.
Yes. It's like anytime someone's got good abs, you just gotta do a nail art of them for me.
Yeah. I could do the ab collab.
I would join your ab collab. Oh my God, there's so many questions I wanna ask. Like, they keep coming up and I don't know where to even start.
So let's take it back to the beginning. When, how did you get into nail polish?
I think I started, I don't even know why, but I think I painted my toes gold out of like boredom one day, and I don't even know where the polish came from.
There's always that one polish.
There really is, yeah. Under every sink.
And then it just became like, it became this running joke with me and my fiance of like, I am a homosexual. If that was not apparent by the rainbows everywhere on my profile.
What?
I know. Yes. And they can't see it, but this house is covered in rainbows. My headset, I specifically picked it because it smiles and has rainbows.
Aww.
Rainbow's my favorite color. Mm-hmm. But like my fiance and I would joke that anytime our toenails were then no longer shiny, that it's like, oh, well, you have such straight nails. And it just became a thing. Then I started painting my pinky fingers. Just for like, I called it like a little like a pop of color, a little like party finger kind of like, ooh, it's shiny. And I like shiny. I'm a monkey. I like shiny things. And then this was around like 2019. So like peak before the world ended. And my kids even started picking up at school. And there was like one band competition that all the boys, like one of the boys brought black nail polish, like to play within the stands. And then they all painted like a single finger. So there's like a picture of me and like 28 teenage boys with like a single painted finger, and it just kind of became a thing. Then COVID, and then that just became, I think it was June of COVID, I was like, well, I want to do a pride one, I'm gonna do more fingers. So then I remember thinking like, I won't need any more than the 8 colors that I just found and bought. And then so, it became so a thing. By like 2021, I was always doing 3. Everyone would always ask me why. I was like, because these are the 3 fingers that I use the least to, like, when I'm playing drums and stuff. Like, my index and thumb were getting beat up all the time. To this day, I still don't do my thumbs because I use them, like, musically and working and, like, as a tool when I paint. So unless I need 5, like, unless I have to, like, claw it up because, like, if I'm doing the, what did I do that I needed 5? Captain Planet. It's like, okay, well,
yeah.
I need 5 for that. Like that. Every once in a while, it's like, okay, the thumb has popped in a picture. Otherwise, I'm just doing 4. But I only did 3, and then I started doing more. And then 2022, I tried my first, like, shamrock. That was my first ever nail art. And then it was like, mildly successful. And at this point, everyone knew me as, like, I painted my nails, like, once a week, and it was just, like, a thing. But it was all on my social media or in life. And then, ironically, it's what I just posted today was the Arizona green tea can.
Mm-hmm.
I did that in, like, April and, like, blew my own mind of, like, how the hell did I do that? And so that's when, like, nail art kind of became, like, okay, we're going to try. And then Halloween that year, I went big and did like monochromatic every week, was like, okay, red Halloween nails. And I got into stamping because my fiance loves Jurassic Park. So I bought him a Jurassic Park stamping plate. And it took us like 2.5 months to understand how to do it because he just wanted dinosaurs on his nails. And I'm like, I'll give you dinosaurs. And they were like, why isn't this picking up? Why isn't it transferring? What is going on? But then I started stamping. And then by the time it got to like holidays of 2022, I was like, my personal Instagram and Facebook page has just become pictures of that I'm taking of my own nails.
Yep.
So then January, I was like, I'm going to do it. And as a teacher, I don't have any public facing social media. Because as a millennial, that like Facebook was invented when I was in college. And I remember distinctly being a sophomore, really ticked off when they opened it up to high schoolers. And we were like, you needed a college email to have a Facebook. And I remember my roommate at the time in the dorm room looking at all of our high school friends that are joining when we were like, no, we're on Facebook. And I remember him going, what's next? Grandma's going to be on Facebook. And here we are.
It's like looking into a mirror right now. I'm like, yes, exactly. That was me.
The millennial runs deep.
Like, I had to wait for this.
I needed a .edu to get this, and now you rabble come in with your freshman pictures of high school, rude.
I went to junior college. I couldn't get it for 2 years after I graduated.
That's cruel.
Right?
That's
it was mean.
Cruel.
Anyway.
But yeah, they drilled it into our brain that like social media would ruin you if you got it, like you would never be able to get a job. So most teachers, and I don't know, Danny, if on your end, like – their Facebooks are their first name and then their like middle name as like a fake last name because they were too afraid to post their real first name. And like all of my friends that I graduated with, that's what their Facebook or social media still is, because that's what they made it as. And everyone's always like, why is Rose your last name on Facebook? And they have to like explain to people, well, our professors didn't know what the future was. And now it's like, you can't have a classroom. Like, if you don't have a classroom Twitter, your admin is like, why are you not sharing things? We need to like and share. But I had never had like a public one. Like, the kids are always like, it's a crossing point when they graduate. They're like, we can add you on Instagram now. I'm like, you can add me. That doesn't mean I'm going to accept it. But there's a possibility of me saying yes, maybe. So this was very public. So that's the main reason I was like, do I want to? And then I was like, I don't care. It's my nails. So I just did it. And then here we are.
Hell yeah.
A year and a half later, I'm being interviewed on a podcast, and that's crazy.
You've experienced some amazing growth in a year and a half. I feel like Instagram's a little hard to grow on, but I think your consistency, your style, and of course your amazing art has really helped you grow in a very short period of time. Like, it's just scrolling through your profile.
Thank you.
It's just amazing, the work you do.
It aesthetically pleases me. I love recaps, because at this point, I do pretty much paint to post at least once a day. Like, sometimes, like, right now, it's, like, very hard to breathe during this time of year for school teachers. So this is where it's going to be like, well, goodbye to consistency. But I at least have some things saved up. And it's very much as a musician and a music teacher, it is a creative outlet. That I'm the director of a program that is an extracurricular. My job relies on me running the business of the nonprofit. Like, I am not a union teacher. I am not teaching during the daytime. I'm teaching 3 till 10 Monday through Friday and 9 to 5 on Saturday. It's all extracurricular. My 5 staff require me to raise the money to be able to pay for all of them. So like, I'm a small business owner that's working with families and kids that rotate out every 4 years, and I have to maintain and like fix problems with admin and like, oh, that there was a behavior incident on Tuesday, and I also need to make sure the ACTs are happening on Saturday. We need to know we can teach in the building so we can get paid, and that, like, all of that. I need something to do that's not my job. And
I got stressed just listening to that.
My fiance is also a educator. He works in the private sector as an educator, like, and consulting on stuff like that. But we both live our jobs. He works from home because the university he works for is in the UK. So we literally, our lives 24/7 is something that has to do with work. So I need something to get my mind, and I'm very much a like tactile person. So when I'm painting and I'm sitting there focusing for an hour on Gambit's abs at 11:39 at night.
Yes.
That's because like I just had like a 6-hour rehearsal block and my brain is fried and I need to creatively get out of that without it being music. I write music for my job. I haven't written for music for pleasure in like 13 years. So like this, but I'm a very creative person. I have like beading or gemstoning. I do a lot. I used to do a lot of that. I did a lot of like needlework. Like, there's a whole pile of crafts over there in the corner of like not failed crafts, but crafts that didn't stick for more than 3-4 months that I'll go back to. But like, nail art became a thing where it's like, it's semi-permanent, but also I can get rid of it like immediately after. It's like immediate satisfaction. After an hour, it's like I have a finished product that I can then share with people. It's like wearing like fun socks, but like you take those socks off the next day and you throw a new one on. But people see fun like it's my nails more than they see like my socks or my Superman underwear, hopefully. So like it just became like this thing. And then I love color and I have a problem with collecting things. So
can't relate.
Yeah,
not at all.
Unrelatable.
You're not describing my exact feelings about crafts, about nail art, like, about hobby collecting. No, never heard of
it. Yeah, it just became a thing, and so like it just stuck as that creative mental health outlet. And my fiance Justin always is like, I remember at the beginning, I'm like, if it ever becomes a job, if it ever becomes work or stress, I just won't do it. And I've actually stuck with that. There's some times where it's like super stressful if I have like a collab or something, or if I've like the other day is I'm a bad swatcher. I forgot because I didn't put it on my chart. And then I joined someone's live and they were doing live swatches of a release. And I'm like, oh, I never did my swatches. So I reached out to the company. They're like, you're a teacher. I figured life got busy. They're like, don't worry about it. Get it to me when you get it to me. And that's what I was just doing, finishing them. But other than that, like, it's not work for me. And if it is, I just don't do it. And like you said, with Instagram, I hate the game. And this is where we get in hot take territory. I'm not in it to be an influencer or have a following, and I've really forced myself to, because like there's some instant gratification. I reach out to Stephanie and I'm like, I want you to look at these abs because I think they're good, and I need that little dopamine hit of sharing this with, because like Justin already told me 8 times that they look good and I need someone else to see them before I post them, kind of thing.
I always accept abs.
I'm not doing it like I don't want to do it for likes or follows. Mm-hmm. And if I ever find myself like getting down on it, it's like put the phone down and walk away, because it doesn't matter. This is the real hot take. Good content does not get you likes or follows.
Mm-hmm.
Big follower count doesn't mean your content is quality. It means it's hitting the thing that the algorithm wants. It's consumable. It is consistent. Some of those things I do not for the reasons that Instagram wants me to do them. Yeah. I want to post every single day because I have ideas. And if I don't have an idea, I don't post.
Mm-hmm.
I like that there's the like anal retentive part of like my chart says I have something to post every single day. But if I drop the ball on something, I was like, I never did that. It's like, okay, well, put that in the idea to do later. I'm not worried about Instagram. And sometimes like I feel like January, just I like numbers, so I'll look at the analytics because I like analytics and demographics, and it's like, wow, January I exploded for no reason. And then December, when you would expect like, oh, holiday stuff is gonna go off, jack squat.
Yeah.
And I don't care. Like now in March is a huge downfall, like number wise for me, on like who is how many people are seeing it, etc. And I can give a rat's potato, because I like that. I like that anybody can see it. So anybody that sends me a love or a like I am incredibly appreciative. I'm not doing it for that, but like I love the little weird community we have.
Yes,
I would honestly freak out in a more negative than positive way if all of a sudden it was like, I went viral and I went from like 2,000 followers to 10,000 followers in a day because some reel went off. And that's the thing. I'll look at a reel from someone that like, okay, they got 5 million views in a week. Why did that happen? And then you look at all their other ones. Everything is consistent, but that is the one that exploded. And that tells you right there, the social media algorithm is, as much planned as it is completely random. And there's like, you're never going to guess how to jump on the wave. You can try and people will work the system, but at that point you're playing that game instead of painting your nails. And I just want to paint my nails. So like, I love the idea, but I also don't want to play that game whatsoever. People have recommended things like, you should do more reels, or you should do this, it'll get you more followers, or you should do a face reveal, or you should reveal more. I'm like, I've already revealed, like, I am already too much of an open book when people ask me questions, as you are now discovering. And like, I'm not masking anything. Yeah. And like, I'm not going to reveal stuff for the sake of
getting more followers.
Like or a fall. Exactly. Right. Like, I'm not on there for that. And if anything, I don't need the job of more. Like, we'll get into the collabs because I know that you have questions on that. But like, when the Rainbow Connection collab drops and I'm tagged in 250 things in one day. The past two Mondays, and this is going to sound like a first world problem, but the past two releases of those, I took the day off because I'm introverted. I can put on a show, but like I'm introverted. At a concert, I don't see the people. On stage, I'm up there like I've been described as John Mulaney of like, I'm just up there looking personable in the lobby. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming. Thanks for the support. And then I put a blanket over my head and don't speak for a week and a half. So it's like, just commenting on every single one or like trying to make sure everyone feels heard is so mentally draining that like if I became viral, I'd probably just be like, I'm gonna leave now. Bye.
Yeah, I'm closing all my accounts.
Don't look at me.
So I have a technical question because I have many technical questions because I would like to get on your level. I would like to become you.
I don't see maybe it's because I'm critical or an educator or I'm always trying to like learn or do stuff. And I can't take a compliment for can we swear on this? Depends on the level.
I'd rather you not, but if you do, okay. I will bleep you out in a funny fashion.
I can't take a compliment for So like when people say like I want to get, I was like, I don't know what you're talking about because you've done stuff that I look at and I'm like, how the heck did she paint that?
Well, here's my thing. When I say get on your level, it's probably not the best way to say it. I want to know how you do what you do so well, and then maybe you can also
the voodoo that you do
so well. Exactly. Then maybe you can learn the voodoo that I do so well. But they're different. So I just want to know, because I'm, you know, of course, like you said, self criticism is a thing. So often I'll be looking at somebody else's work and be like, how is it so good? And if they did point it out to me, like, oh yeah, well that's fuzzy. Oh yeah, well that's there's a hair there.
Exactly. Exactly.
But like, you know, I'm enjoying it. So what medium do you use for your art? Is it polish or is it acrylic paint? How do you get that to look so good?
It is all polish.
Yes.
I tried acrylic once.
Yes.
And I think I'm so like Stockholm syndrome with how lacquer works dry time wise.
Yes.
That when I went and tried, because I was like, I'm going to try white acrylic paint to like try to get some some translucency in clouds. I think it was the Cupid. It was the Lore collab. So it was the Cupid and I was doing clouds and I wanted it to kind of be like Renaissance painting. And I had already done lots of different clouds, opaque and kind of translucent-esque with white polish. But I was like, I'm going to try it with acrylic. And I loathed it. I'm so used to how horrible nail polish is to paint with as a medium that like it's just full Stockholm syndrome and like I understand how it works, so like I couldn't do what I needed to. It's like Apple and Mac and PC where it's like I want to do it and then you put me on an iMac and I'm like, where's the click, where's the folder, I can't function, how does this work?
It is so nice to hear you say that because people, this is the thing that people always get on me about and I never really understand why. I think it's probably because they're like, oh, you would have so much more potential if you could just break out of your shell. But it's like, oh, like you should use gels, you should use acrylic paints. And for me, I know you said you're a tactile person. I'm the exact same way. Acrylic paint feels so wrong on my nails, even under a top coat, that like it makes me want to throw up.
And like there are some things that I'd love to be able to do with gels, but I hate the idea of the permanency of it because like again, I'm painting them every day, like if not two or three times if I'm like loading up on something. So it's like once it's on, it's either there for a day or off, and I don't want to deal with like, even though gel could be easier to use because it doesn't dry for doing specific techniques, like the only thing I would ever really want it for is if I got it on my like non-picture hand so I could do the chrome, because I can do the chrome what's that called?
Powder.
I
want to
say dust. Powder. That's the word. Thank you. The scientific word, powder.
Yeah.
But like it's hard to pull that off. Like chrome, like the gel is just so much easier to get that like perfect mirror finish.
Yeah.
And for me, like if it's not perfect, I'm gonna sit there and stare at it and be like, I hate this. So like that's probably the only way I would ever do it. And I would still I'd still be scared to do it because of the like quote unquote permanency of it. So it's just like I'm lacquer all, and it's like I already bought all this nail polish.
Right?
I don't want to buy a new medium to deal with. That's like saying like the people that do gel polish be like, you should do lack. It's like let the people do what they're good at and
just
what they want to do. I appreciate like a thought. I never hate it when someone says like, have you tried this or that?
Oh yeah,
it's
I love
the people
that.
That it's like, you should do what other they just sound like that to me. It's like, okay, thank you. It's like
no,
the people that say get on the roller coaster because you should. I was like, well, I already told you why I've done it, why I know I don't like it, and why I don't want to do it. And now you're like, but you should do it. And I was like, you should keep your opinion to yourself.
Mind your own business.
I do have one question. Because you change out your nail art so often, do you use a peel-off base?
Ugh, I hate peel-off base, personally. Dang it.
I was hoping there would be another person in the peel-off base.
I do have peelies that are on a shelf, which is gross. But they were peelies that popped off naturally. So if I did have a peel-off base, I'd have like a bucket of those. Like I would Christine it and take that around places and like pull it out to creep people out and be like, this nail is from 1922. Like, yes. Amen. I would catalog it. Yes. 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 They can't see it, so they just, I hope someone like randomly turns on the podcast to me just going, yes.
Yes.
Yes. But I'm pointing at your color-coded, categorized book of nail peelies.
Yes.
And I love it. But I personally hate it, and I find that it makes me one, they pop off too quickly. Like, I did glitter for a concert because, like, if it's a concert week, it's like, I'm not getting any nail art done. And for some reason, I thought, I'll just put a peel off for the glitter so it's easy to remove later. I didn't even start the concert and four of them were already gone.
Mm.
And I'm like, the only one left is the thumb and I never do it and it's going to go now too. So I am a 100% acetone girly all the way.
Mm-hmm.
I for cleaning, I use 100% acetone. For removal or cleanup, I use 100% acetone with additives.
For cleanup, you use an acetone additive?
Yeah, so I'll put 100% acetone in my little jar, and then I'll put a little additive in that too. One for the scent, and two, it's going on my skin. So like, I still want the power of the cleanup for the brush, but then it also means my cleanup brushes don't die as quickly in that acetone either. But it's the same acetone that I use, and the same additive that I use in my pump for like removal.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite additive brand and scent and all that?
I'm a creature of habit. So Moonshine Manny's, they have like a billion. I always call scents flavors.
I love that.
It's like, don't drink the polish, but like I always say, like, that's a good flavor.
You can have it as a treat.
I always like, I have my favorite flavors of Bath and Body candles, and my fiance is like, you don't eat the candles. It's not a flavor. I'm like, but I want to call it that. And then one of his favorite quotes is, what's life without whimsy? So then I throw that back at him of like, yeah, lilac is my favorite flavor of candle. And he's like, it's not a flavor. I'm like, what's life without whimsy?
I love this like whimsical passive aggression.
Yeah. Yes. Using whimsy as a weapon.
We're incredibly gross. We've literally never had a fight in 8 years ever. Mm-hmm. So like our only fights come out of like passive aggressive, like, tickle
whimsy
fights, or like, what's life without Wednesday? But Moonshine Manny's, they're like, it's cheap. It's like $6. It's one of the only things that I don't make myself. So like, I make my own cuticle oil because it's cheaper and easier, and I like being in that control. But it's like, I don't want to buy glycerin. I don't want to buy all this the flavors. Like, I did buy scent oil. And then I hated having to keep the big bottles. And I'm like, this tiny little bottle is going to last me 800 years. And if I don't like the scent of it because I'm buying it blind, I'm like, for a vial is like $6. I literally have probably like 12 of them. Sometimes I mix and match. Like, I'm not using enough of it. Like, I burn through it. But for $6 for a vial, it's like, anytime I buy it, I'll probably like every 3 months I'll buy new ones, and I still haven't run out of one because I just like, today I'm going to be apples, or today I'm going to be like a lilac, and I'll mix in some of the vanilla lavender or whatever. Like, I'll just play around with it. But you can do that yourself. I know people do just buy the vegetable glycerin and a scent and do it themselves. But that has worked for me, and it's cheap, so I just keep going back to it until I have a reason not to.
Well, speaking of cuticle oils, I think it's time that we oil our cutes and take a little break.
All right, yep. And when we come back, we will have more questions for Jeremy, aka Acula Nails. See you then. Hey everyone, it's Stephanie, and I'm here to say that if you're loving the show, please consider joining us on Patreon, where you can be a lackey. That's LACQUI lackey. Every new lackey gets a special shout out on the podcast, and every existing lackey gets a credit on the YouTube version of our show. Today, we're so happy to announce our newest lackey, Allie. Thank you so much for joining our Patreon. You may be our lackey, but we bow to you. And now, back to the show. Okay. All right, everybody, we are back. We are moisturized. We are in our lane. We are thriving. We are giggling like little schoolgirls because we can't tell you what we were just talking about.
Inside jokes.
Inside jokes.
No.
But I do have my nice little box of pictures here that I will be huffing to keep myself calm during this segment. All right. So we were talking a bit about how you make some of your own products. And that leads us to wanting to ask you, what are some of your go-to products, and especially like what makes them special, what makes them help you with your finished look, and also, you know, which ones are the ones that you make yourself and why? Go on.
Good question. I love talking shop, so this makes me excited. I guess I'll start like process wise bottom to top. My favorite, I guess I'll start with the cleaning process. I like the Sally Hansen cuticle remover.
Heck yeah.
I mix it with a little bit, like I put the cuticle remover on, I put a couple drops of my, cuticle oil, and then I go out. I have one of the, you're not going to see it, but you know those like curvy metal tools? I have one that's not sharp, because the sharp ones terrify me, that I'm either going to like cut into my nail or yeah. it's rounded, it's thin, and it like helps scrape, but it's not sharp. And so I'll do that. Cuticle oil wise, I do make my own. It's just 100% a jojoba oil, because one, it's, and then this is me being the teacher, and I always have to tell people stuff, jojoba oil is the closest thing to natural human sebum, which is the waxy oil that our skin makes as a protectant. It's also not a oil, it's a wax, it's just liquid at room temperature.
Oh.
And it also has a small enough molecule that it can be absorbed by the nail bed rather than sitting on top. So it's essentially like the holy grail of, and there are other great oils, and people, I know people that do mix other oils in for other reasons, like argan or coconut or olive or whatever. I just like the jojoba because I'm like, if it's going to be like my skin, it might as well. I do mix in a little bit of vitamin E, a natural vitamin E. And then I use, citrus essential oil for scent. So like orange, grapefruit, and lemon, just that's like, I'm a creature of habit again, and I haven't found a scent that I like, at least cuticle oil wise, other than that. So like I'll do that. Base coat. I use the base coat from Finding Feathers lacquer, or Finding Feathers polish. Do you remember what it is? I'm gonna feel bad if
I don't even know this brand.
Let me look it up. I've never heard of this brand.
I'm gonna go find.
You're gonna go find some feathers?
Yeah.
Lacquer.
I'm gonna look it up. Finding Feathers Lacquer, LLC. What is this? It's got a beautiful fairy on their front.
It does. Ooh,
yes. Who is Finding this? Feathers. So we'll start from the beginning on this. So top. So my base coat, I use Finding Feathers Lacquer. It's an indie brand. Jen, she was, part of it is nostalgia, and then part of it is I tested like 50 of them and ended up like, oh, this is, not only am I using it because she gave it to me when I first started swatching, I was like, oh, I do actually enjoy this as like my go-to overall. It's like half smoothing, half sticky. So it like has a good smoothing effect, but also not too thick, but then also good bonding, but also not too bonding. My other go-to all the time is the Orly Bonder Base.
Yes.
But most of the time I'm not my manis aren't staying on for a long time.
Yeah.
So it's more like for protecting, and I find that this protects it. Jen, Finding Feathers Lacquer was the first brand to reach out to me, and she just like cold messaged me and was like, I like what you do. Do you want to swatch? And I'm like, I've never swatched before. I don't know how to take pictures. Basically trying to convince her, like, I don't know what I'm doing, and you shouldn't be asking me. And she was like, I don't care. We'll see what you do. I like what you do. And we've become very good friends, but it was basically one of those like, we like each other. Do you want to work together? And that's kind of how I do any swatches that I do now, is like a connection with a person that like, I like them, they like what I do. yeehaw. But that's what I use as base coat. My go-to, the goat of top coats, is the Glisten and Glow. I know it has. Yeah. How do you say the chemical?
Toluene.
I say toluene.
Okay. Yeah. I think I said toluene. So toluene.
I've heard it many different ways. We all know what we're talking about.
We all know what we're talking about. It's got it in it, and I know people avoid it, but like reading up on the effects of that polish, of that chemical, like it does not bother me that it's in there.
For one person doing a mani in their home, it is not a significant hazard.
Exactly. Yeah. Now I'm doing a lot of them. I do enough ventilation, but as like it's literally drying right now on my fingers and I can smell it. But again, I'm accepting that risk. Cause I've tried lots of others and they just don't do it. They're not as glossy. They're not as thick. They're not as glassy. It's not as quick drying. It's not as self-leveling. Like Jill really did the darn thing.
She did. That.
So like I have like 80 bottles of that. I buy that sucker in bulk.
Yep.
So every time there's a sale, just like, okay, yeah, add like, this. Oh, and then
I'm getting another squeeze bottle of it.
How much more free shipping?
Justin's always like, do we need more? And I'm like, it's the top coat. He goes, oh, it's the top coat.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do need more of the top coat. Let me else what they like removal wise. I'm 100% acetone girly with the additives, as you mentioned, as we mentioned before. I do use the little gel clips, and I use the little rectangle, like lint free. I fold them in half, use the little pump, put it on with the clip, removes it in like 10 seconds. Like those things, like I will never go back to those cotton swabs ever again. Like I have thousands of those little, it's still cotton, but it's like basically like paper. It's
like fabric.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I don't know how anybody uses anything else. But at that point, like I can go through the cleanup and prep process in about 5 to 10 minutes to be ready for a mani and to swap out another one. Even with like glitter, like that 100% acetone in the clip, and it like it burns through the nastiest glitter flaky combo that I can have. So like those are all my go-to. For a cleanup brush, I use the Elf brand concealer, small concealer brush that you can get at like CVS for $2.
A classic.
I like the fact that it's like a wedge. It's thin. It's very much has the same tightness as the Holo Taco one, which is my other favorite, but I can get it for $2. So when it eventually burns out, I just buy like 5 at a time. The Holo Taco one is beautiful and I feel bad using it, but when it wears out, it's like I just spent $12 on this shiny rainbow brush. So I stopped buying branded ones because I'm like, I can literally get this at any place, anytime. So I just buy a bunch and it's like, it is as effective, if not better, and like 80% cheaper.
I'm going to reveal a little about myself. I have 2 Holo Taco cleanup brushes. One I use, one I will never use. I don't know. I'm scared
because it's perfect.
Because it's perfect and I don't want to ruin it.
I buy K&I weed whackers in bulk. They're a little more expensive than Elf, but they're $5.50. So no,
still, that compared to like I love tools like the like again, the Holo Taco one was my favorite and I bought other brands trying to find like, okay, is there another one? Because I like testing. Say I did a whole thing on like my favorite white creme and I've tested like almost 25.
What's your favorite white creme? You can't not drop that.
The Color Club French Tips.
That is in the lead for me as well.
It is. It has the most opacity while still being not chalky.
Yes.
Like the Holo Taco is more blendable, but unfortunately a little bit more milky. It's not milky, but it doesn't have the same opacity. And then the Mooncat one is really, really opaque, but basically chalk. So it's hard to like... like you end up having to rehydrate it every 5 seconds just to do anything with it. The French tip is like my good, like you can, it's a one coater. It's opaque. It's easy. It's smooth. That's my go-to. Sometimes I even tried, like if I had to, I would mix it with the, I think it's the Orly.
White tips.
Yes. White tips.
Yeah.
It's very close, like name wise, because it is very pourable, but just like the Holo Taco one, not like, it's like 98% opaque. So if I wanted to like make a Franken one to get the color club to be a little bit smoother, I'd probably just mix in some of the Orly. But I also like throw in one drop of thinner, and if it's a little bit thick, that's fine. But then the One Coat Black from Holo Taco is my go-to black. I probably have three or four of each the white and that black, the One Coat Black, because that's what I use the most just in art constantly.
Before we move on to anything else, so earlier we were talking about your love of gradients, and I had Danny make a note to not forget to ask you about gradients. So I'm going to do it right now. What are your tips and tricks for getting a perfect gradient? Because other than water marbling and sometimes stamping, that is what I hear all the time over and over again in my chat. Like, how do you do a gradient and not totally mess it up? And usually when I'm trying to show them how to do that, I mess it up. So tell us, please.
I use liquid latex purely for cleanup because it's easy to peel 90% of it off, though it's not necessary. You can wipe it off and stuff, but the latex is purely for cleanup. And I purposely don't get too close to my cuticle because I've had it where like it goes into the cuticle or goes onto the nail. And then when you peel it off, you're like, ah!
Yes.
So like I can clean up my cuticle with a brush. I'm not worried about that. It's mainly for like the rest of the finger. I don't want to sit there and be like wiping. If it's whenever I do a gradient, I try to do more than two colors, because two colors, you're really relying on how close they are for that blend. And sometimes it's never going to blend out. I am obsessed with color, so if it's like minutely a different shade, I will buy it. So like I can get, like I did a neon one the other day because a friend of mine de-stashed a bunch of Cirque neons to me. Ooh. So it was like a horizontal, like across all my nails, that used like 16 colors. So like each nail has like 3 to 4 colors gradient on it. So picking the right colors, I think, is the first step.
Yeah.
I normally paint the base of my nail with the lightest and then gradient over that, because sometimes like the opacity of the lightest color might not work. Or if I know for the green tea one, I did a very light gradient of the aqua, but the color, the China glaze, the two yacht to handle, I know is a little bit waterier. So like I made sure that I had a good clear base of that on the bottom, so I wasn't trying to build it with the sponging. Your first two passes of your sponging are going to look like absolute monkey garbage. And that's the point. Because you want thin levels. You want thin layers. So like I'll paint it on the sponge. I'll blep, 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 blep. If it's a little bit tacky, it's better. Not too wet, it's just going to gouge all over your finger. Too dry, it's going to pull stuff up. So, like, if I do all four, my index will be probably the worst, and then the next three will be great because it's at the perfect dryness. Sometimes I'll dab it on a paper towel, but sometimes that picks up, like, lint, and then I'll sponge lint into the middle of a beautiful, like, lemon sorbet gradient, and then I want to throw a brick out a window. Mm-hmm. And I have dogs that love to shed over everything, so, like, a chihuahua hair right in the middle. And you're just like, curses!
Another really, chihuahua, I see.
he is a, get this, he's 97% chihuahua, 3% mastiff.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
Male chihuahua.
But he's got lots of skin and like really long neck like a giraffe. He's weird. He has no brain. It's great. But he sheds everywhere. So like if I get a Doug hair in a sponge gradient, I'm gonna be real mad. But like the first couple is just a slow build up. Like when I do it, I do quick little dabs, moving it around a bit. You can just continually, like if you don't like the blend of it, keep going over it. It essentially can erase itself. And when you put a good top coat over it, a lot of the imperfections you see smooth right over and they blend together, and it doesn't look like you had any problems in it.
It's amazing what a top coat does for a gradient.
Oh, yeah. Top coat fixes. And then sometimes you just throw a sparkly top. You throw a little extra fizz from Plus Life Lacquer on it, and you don't notice, like, when you booped that part of the sponge on the wrong place, and it's stuck there forever. But I think just like with nail art, the thought ahead of time makes it more successful. So, like, color choice really does, like, if you know you want to do, like, go from indigo away to lavender, you need a good mid-tone purple.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah. It's going to blend, but it's not going to blend as smoothly as you want it to because you are forcing those two distinct colors to make a middle color. And if you have a middle color in between, it just like butter mixes it.
Do you use any sort of color tool? There's a lot of color palette makers online and stuff like that. Do you ever use anything like that?
I don't use them for that kind of stuff, but ironically I did, because I love color. I did get an Instagram ad for these, like, it's like this cube of color and it's these cards.
I saw those, yeah.
And it's like it's a color palette, and then it's also like a photo or like an artistic rendering using that color palette. And I got it just for like, let me see. Normally the inspo that I have in my head, I need to get onto the nails, so I already have it. But I figured like that would be fun to like pull one and like force myself. So they're actually, it's sitting over there on all of my like either things I need to catalog or things in the future that I need to do. I have a flamingo one because I pulled it and I started pulling colors that match the color palette, but I haven't done anything with it. That's more like a, when I want to, I'll wander over and be like, woo. But I normally don't use anything like that. It's just like, I categorize and store all my polishes by color because I'm weird.
No, I do that too.
Not by brand.
It makes so much more sense.
I did start doing by formula. So I have like my flaky bin and I have my toppers and my glitters and my magnetics or my Krellies, which is all plus life lacquer because Summer converted me to, I hated Krellies. And then I started, then she started sending me some for swatching and I was like, oh, you know what you're doing.
Okay. Tangent time. But like, I'm going through my favorite, my next video is my favorite whites. There's like five plus life lacquer Krellies.
They're all the Krellies.
I'm wearing,
and they're fabulous.
Macabre manga right now. And having a wonderful time.
Having a wonderful time. They make real, and she always argues, she argued this to me of why I should use them more, of like, they make a really good nail art base.
They do.
Because it's a good textured background that's not distracting, but also interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like, damn, you got me on that. That's really good. So now I find myself using a lot of acrylic. But like, I'll do those, but then my main bins, I have like 16 bins of like, here are my blues, here are my indigos, here's my purples, here's my magentas, here's my hot pinks, here's my mid-tone pinks, here's my, like, I have, and you can tell my favorite color because I have three different aqua, teal, like they're like a little bit greenier, a little bit bluer, really in the middle, a lot bluer, a lot brighter, and I'll just sit there and be like, okay, that and that, and then I get like my bundle of 12. And then Justin's like, are you going to gradient? I was like, of course I'm going to gradient. Of course I'm going. It's my like, gradients are like my like safety zone. They're my like comfort blanket of of techniques.
One more question about gradients. Dry or wet sponge?
Dry.
Oh, surprised.
I'll paint it on the sponge. I'll squeeze it a little bit so it absorbs in. And if there's like polish pooling on top because I wasn't paying attention, I'll dab it off a little bit. But when you say wet sponge, you mean like,
do you wet it first?
Oh,
like
no.
With water?
Yeah.
Oh,
we talk like, about stuff
like that, the, it's like a the thing. No, you don't think I'm crazy.
I've never heard of this before. What are you talking about?
Well, beauty influencers oftentimes say that you're supposed to wet makeup sponges for makeup.
I went, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
You were telling me about that. We were talking, see, I'm not.
Yeah, for your face, not for your nails.
It's just something I've heard people do. Why are you mad at me?
I'm not mad.
I'm putting out there just for the record, I am not mad at all.
It's okay,
Danny.
Danny is fuming right now. Danny needs
She's
to take a
water and nail polish don't mix. She's, why would you do that?
She's breaking things in her room right now.
I don't do it. I thought maybe Jeremy did.
I don't do it either.
I'm innocent.
You're applying polish, not foundation, Steph. What are you talking about?
Danny, I have another question.
I should do it. I should buy some makeup and do a wet sponge gradient for your next birthday collab.
That would be, yes, actually. Yes, please.
It's like, I wet the sponge, too. I'll take a video of me sprinkling water on it.
Well, just watch. You're going to wet the sponge, and you're going to be like, This is everything. And I'll be like,
either that or it's gonna light on fire, like something.
Yeah, it's just literally happen. It's gonna melt your hand. You're like, oh my god, it turns into hydrochloric acid.
You mentioned you mentioned bins. What do you mean by bins? Tell us about your organization.
We have the like a TV stand that has these like drawers. It's standard IKEA. And it's not the Helmer. That's what everyone uses, right? But I originally stored all my nail polish in like a shoebox.
Mm-hmm. That's how everyone starts.
And then Justin got me like the nail like caddy bin, and I'm like, that stored less than the nail box, the shoebox did. So then they just started stacking places, and then I was like, I'll use these that go under the TV. They pull out drawers, and I searched for like 6 months to find like, this is the dimension of the drawer. I want stackable bins that can hold everything. And I found these bins that I can fit like three on the bottom, three on the top. It uses up the entire space of the drawer. And I got a bunch of those and then completely outgrew the drawers. So now, luckily, all those bins fit under the coffee table. We have an IKEA coffee table. So like all the color bins, the rainbow, they all go underneath, so I can just slide them out in and out underneath that table. And then the overflow of the rainbow goes, it's like a two-tiered thing, so then the overflow goes on the second tier. And so in the cabinet now are all the like overflow of top coats, my metallics, my magnetics, anything that's not in a color-coded bin. And the color-coded bins are more than cremes, but if I run out of room and it's like, okay, Midnight Spark, you're moving from the indigo bin into the blurple bin.
Thank you.
into the glitter bin of like, you're all the thick, heavy glitters. So eventually all of them will probably end up being cremes, but like, there's still a mix of like, if the majority of you is a color, I'd like you to be in that color bin so I don't have to go digging for like, where's that blue magnetic? It's like, it should be in the blue bin, but they can only, I think they hold like standard, probably like 30 to 40, depending on the bin. So like, and I have probably like at this point, like 26 of those bins. Things are in a collection, because I said I'm a collector. So like all the Holo Taco linears I have on a display rack. I have familiar polish. One of the first things I bought from them is their glow in the dark rainbow thing. They're displayed. All the Plus Life Lacquer soda collection, they're displayed on a shelf where it's like, that is rainbows. I cannot break up a family.
Yes.
So they are not broken up. But most of the time I don't leave stuff out that isn't being cataloged. I say that as there are nail polishes everywhere, but
they need to be cataloged.
Normally I don't leave them out, because I don't catalog what I do. Like for my post, I like put them all in a corner with a sticky note that says like, this is the Big Bird collection. So that morning when I'm like, I need to write down all the things for my post, I'll just go over and then they'll go away eventually.
Yeah. No, I love you. You and I have a very similar mind when it comes to organization, because I think you can see my wall racks mm-hmm. here. Those are for the rainbow families. I have dark pastel and the OG Holo Taco right here with me. Oh, it's so
beautiful.
My
God, your Cinnamon Toast Crunch Danny. She was just mentioning your Manny.
That's why I did it, because I cut those out during COVID and I put them all over the place because their crazy faces are how I felt. And then I was like,
wild.
I've never done a Cinnamon Toast Crunch Manny before. Apparently they're called Cinemojis.
And, is that what they're called?
Yeah, because Cinnamon Toast Crunch commented on my post and
you
said
did it!
And said like, I did the Cinemojis justice. And I'm like,
you did.
I've never felt famous before in my life, but the fact that Cinnamon Toast Crunch just commented on my nail art, I was like, I'm done. I don't need anything else. Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
See, I was trying to get Taco Bell, and Lindry has been trying so hard to get Heinz.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There you go, getting Cinnamon
They're
Toast
in Pittsburgh.
Crunch.
I'll just like open the window and be like, hey, ketchup, notice her.
Notice her. Yeah, please. Tell ketchup to notice Lindry.
No. The Cinnamon Toast, what are they called? Cinemojis?
Cinemojis.
That's I didn't even know that. I didn't know that either. They're so good, Jeremy. That, and I cannot help but be absolutely enamored with your Scooby-Doo water marble.
Okay, so I'll tell you that one. So the Scooby-Doo, I did a Scooby-Doo Manny back in like the fall. And then Avery reached out to me and was like, oh my God, you love Scooby-Doo too. And I was like, they're great. They're iconic. Perfect. They're like, we should do a collab. And then like months went by and it was always, and then they got stamper plates. It's like, we should do a collab. I got my stamper plates. Like, great. And we just never scheduled it. And then Kat and Atticus were going to do, because I was talking with Kat and he's like, I think we want to do Scooby-Doo next. And I was like, oh, Avery and I wanted to do Scooby-Doo. So he was like, why don't you be guest hosts? And then, like, I'm watching all these people turn in amazing art. And I'm like, I've already done, like, my brain already did my Scooby Manny. I have no idea what to do. Because, like, I did that Scooby Manny because that's what I wanted to do. Now that I have to, it's like when you have to read the book in English class.
Yeah.
Your brain's just like, no. So I had no idea what to do. And then I was just like, I'm going to take the colors of the van and water marble it and then, like, do flowers on it. And then I was like, oh, I love this.
It's yeah. so good.
But
it's
like,
so
it came cute. Out of, I have no idea what to do. So I'm glad that resonated.
It did.
Sometimes those are the best fannies when they just come out of nowhere and you're that last minute exactly. desperation.
Like I said, if I was doing it to get likes and attention, like I'd be utterly failing because like that was not planned in any way to be like, this is going to get people to like it. And I'm always fascinated by what some things click and what doesn't. Like something I think like that's a theme that's gonna like people are gonna like that, and then absolutely no one sees it. And then there's somewhere it's like that's a I did a geode one because I was on a video call with Justin's best friend, and I was about to sit down to paint. I was like, give me a theme, I don't know what to do. And she was just like, geode. And I was like, okay. And I just like girlies. Did this amethyst and it like everyone was like, that's amazing. And I'm like, I didn't even like it when I did it, and I just made it up off of a whim.
Isn't that amazing when you're like, I didn't even like this one?
The more you try, the more you, like, it just doesn't work. So it's like, just have fun.
Jeremy, you're the first dude we've had on the podcast, and I was curious how this has affected your experience with the nail polish community, with putting your nails out there on the internet for all to see, and any, like, real life experiences you've had as a male presenter. With
as
painted
a
men's nails.
I'm a man's. In real life, I've gotten like zero negative anything. I think I'm in a very nice, safe, happy bubble. Where I live and the people that are around me, I've never had and if anything, I've had positive experiences with people that I would have not expect. Like I would have just expected them to be silent about it. But then they are like, oh, that's cool. The most negative one, and she'll never hear it, so it's fine. My mom, when I started, she'd be like, why are you doing that? She paints her nails. But she's like, why are you doing that? Now she's like always comparing things. She gets some of my D-stashes. Like she's always like, when are you going to come over? Because I stamped flamingos on her nails once. So then it's like, when am I getting my next Manny? What are you doing with that? But she was like it's the classic mother, like the questioning anything you're going to do. But now she thinks it's just, and once you start to get free stuff, then she's like, oh, yeah. That's great.
It's the money, the mom money brain. Like, oh, you're making money off this?
You got paid a whole $50 to paint your nails? It's like, yeah. And then I spent it on nail polish again.
Yes.
Community wise, I did start out on Reddit on like nail polish. And then that's how I got into Instagram of like, okay, I kind of want to catalog this. And in reality, I use Instagram more as I share it with people, but it's more to like catalog it myself. the community has been very, 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 very open. I think there's like the unique factor. It's wearing off of like, oh, it's a man that does nail polish. That's wearing off, I feel. But and by the time I was in there was still plenty of people that men that were doing nail polish and that had it. But I think there is a little bit uniqueness to it. But in reality, I'm not sharing myself as much. So I feel like the men that put more of their personality out there or more of like influencer like me and my nails get a little bit more traction on that end. Like if you looked at my nails, unless you like noticed like a hairy knuckle, you're probably not going to know like, it, like, if something goes, I feel like it's very like Abe the nail babe of like, he's out there, but people like the randoms will be like, why are you the hairy knuckle? Because they have no idea it's a guy.
Yeah.
So I feel like if anybody stumbles on my stuff, they're probably gonna like the inspo of the, or like the theme of it is probably going to be more apparent than like that's a dude. But I obviously do not hide that whatsoever. Like my profile just says like I'm a big old gay nerd. But I think that there's also like a small inner community of like male nail art people on Instagram and in there. Like Lacker, you mentioned Lackerdactyl. I met him in the Reddit back when he was asking, like, the actor was a hobbit, but was also in Lost. You know which one I'm talking about?
Yes, Dominic Monaghan. Okay.
Yes. And he had, like, this reverse French tip mani that was, like, yellow. So it's, like, the cuticles were yellow. And he had posted on there, like, I want to do something like this, but, like, I don't want color. I don't want to paint my nails. I'm masculine. And then, like,
this was Lackerdactyl.
Yes. And then, like, and if he doesn't want me to tell all this, I'm sorry. But then, like, a month later, it's like, my nails are red. I love it. And then he made an Instagram. So that's why he always says, like, oh, it's my friend Aculid. Because, like, I was like, I remember when you were on the Nail Polish Reddit, like, asking, like, where to find black nail polish so you can do, like, a masculine version of this minimal thing. And now it's like, you're swatching all of these like garishly vibrant things that you were like, oh, I'll never want that. And I feel like that's where we all come from, that of like, I'll just start with this. And
then you're small.
8,000 nail polish deep being like, these neons aren't bright enough.
Yes!
But I feel like the male community, nail art community, is a little bit more like, it's like a small town. Everyone mm-hmm. knows each other.
Yeah.
And I also feel like a majority are probably on the Alphabet Mafia or like LGBTQ community. So then there's also that of that small community of like, we're all giving each other side eye when a new one comes in, but we're all also like, yay, family. like just this month, like two new, like male Instagram accounts started following me and I was immediately like, hi. How are you? I'm a man too. And we're like, hi. It's like toddlers.
I'm a boy too. Preschool for
the we're like, let's be friends. Like the first day of preschool, where it's like, you like Batman shoes too. But I've never gotten any pushback from the real world or the internet world. I don't think I'm known enough to get internet pushback of people being like, your knuckles are hairy and why would a man do that? That's gross. If anything, people are like, I like the abs.
Yes. You're not, yes. It doesn't seem like you're exposed to enough internet. I'm the same way.
Thankfully.
That, you know, you're not, the people who would comment that just aren't seeing anything.
No. And I'm specifically not, I have nothing against, like, I'd probably do it. I think my face has been revealed once. So, well, like during my concert series, I would put up the live stream where you could literally watch me for 2 hours on a stage. So I'm not trying to hide, but I also am not in this to be a personality.
Yeah.
Nothing against those. That is a completely valid form of social media consumption and production, but that is not at all why I'm in it. So like I'll do stuff about me, but my page is still not me. So like I think that also protects me a little bit from people that are like, man shouldn't do that kind of attitude, because it's just like more of an art thing rather than me like putting the nails on my face being like, I'm a man, look at my nails, I'm a man.
Just posing with your Adam's apple, be like, yeah.
Yeah, like look at the beard. Nails on a beard.
Danny, do you want to ask about collabs?
Sure. Because we both,
ooh boy,
we both seem to have a little bit of an addiction, a little oops, I gave myself homework. So how did you get into collabs and do you have any favorites?
Yeah, we gave ourselves homework. We're teachers. Of course we say, sure, we'll do that.
Yep.
We'll organize a group of people.
Yeah.
It's what we're good at. I don't even remember why or how. I feel like it was just like, ooh, that's fun inspiration. I always want to like join it for like whatever the inspiration is. And then a new way of like that could give me an idea in my mind to do something. Like if I have nothing, it's like, well, this collab is doing like a rainy day Skittle. Great. I don't know if I would have come up with that myself, but now I can do something within the bubble of that constraint. I love creative reality TV competition. So like a Top Chef, a Drag Race, a Project Runway, where they're making something. It's not just like people screaming at each other in a house. It's like they're, it's also insane, but I always found it interesting that when they say you have to make a dress out of used ketchup packets, they will make something amazing. And then at the end, when they're like, here's $10,000, make something that represents anything you want. They all are like, I can't function. It's the whole like sand, like I had a student that could not play Minecraft because they're like, well, what's the goal? I was like, do something. They're like,
yeah,
what do I do? Tell me what to do. I'm like, well, it's make an axe. And they're like, now that I have an axe, now what do I do? He's like, well,
that's me.
Do you want to go to that? Like they can't handle sandbox. So like the restraint of like, do this, you can only use this, this is the theme, that unlocks some creativity. So I like that aspect of it. Hosting, that became a like, I think it was Little Silly Munchkins for Life's birthday was one of the first ones that someone was like, do you want to co-host? And I was like, sure. And then out of that came the Rainbow Connection collab, because like, you know me, I like rainbows and I like putting things in order. So after that was done, it was with Rossi and Rebecca and Myrto. I was like, Myrto. I always want to call her Myrto, but she's Greek. It's Myrto. I was like, hey, I know we're done with this, but I had an idea. What if we like randomly assigned these people colors? Everyone got a color. They had to do a monochromatic mani, and then the collage was a rainbow. And they were like, that sounds great. So then we did it. And now I don't know if it is, because I don't know all of, like, I'm sure there is other ones, but it might be like one of the biggest collabs.
I was going to say it's huge.
We're on round 9, which is actually, we have 9 colors because we picked 9 colors so we could do a 3x3 grid kind of scenario for collages. So we picked 9 colors. So this is anybody that started, they are now finishing their rainbow, which is kind of cool. And it was also right after Silly Munchkin's birthday, and her birthday's coming up, I think, in the end of April. So it's like also a year of it, which is crazy. But I think there's like 350 people in it. I mean, that sign up. Not everyone does it, because I, like my teaching style, wanted to be very inclusive. Like, you could do anything. Swatch, peelies, insane nail art. You just want to like look at a bottle of polish that's blue. You could be on Team Blue. And if you don't do it, I don't care, because like there's no pressure. If it's crazy, don't do one. You can go back to that color, or it will just be thrown in. Rebecca made an algorithm so you will get all the colors by the end, and then you can repeat if you'd like. But it's just like open. It's a wonderful community. Like the chat is a lot, and I think I think I invented another innovation of the introvert chat. So like there are people that I was friends with that didn't join it because they're like, 150 people in a chat is a lot. And so we had people that weren't in the chat but still would do it because they're like, I can't handle the chat. And then I was sitting there thinking like, I deal with, as an introvert and as a teacher that has students with wide variety of disabilities and abilities that I pull in to make work, like, I will be as inclusive as possible. I was like, there needs to be a way that we can get people that don't want to be in a big chat. So we invented the introvert chat. So we have 2 different chats. One doesn't speak at all, and the other one constantly speaks. And both are awesome. And it's just a really like fun, positive, like there's no pressure. Like everyone is like, that's amazing. If they do a swatch, people are like, I love that color. No one's sitting there going like, well, I spent 8 hours on my nail art and you just painted. Like, no one cares. It's just like, we're all in it for the same reason. And we've never had drama, which is insane to me. We haven't had drama with that many people. And me and Myrto and Rossi, like, and Rebecca have this like we're like our biffles now of like, we have our own Discord server, server for doing and running it, because at this point it's all like a science, and like it's intense pressure doing all of it, but it's like one of my favorite things when it comes all together.
Yeah, all collabs should have an introvert chat because I am a notorious lurker. I'm in a bunch of collabs. Oh, yeah. I don't say a word. I just submit my picture silently.
Well, and then the issue, and that's fine, but the issue was that the chat was so big.
Yeah.
And Instagram chats like fail to work constantly anyway. Yeah. That people were missing announcements. They didn't like, when were colors announced? Or like, wait, this it's due? And like, no one knew. So I was like, if you can't handle 9 billion notifications, introvert chat, just go there. And like, and they still talk and they're still like, that's beautiful. But like, there's no tangents. Like, they'll say it's beautiful and they may be like, I love this polish and someone talks about it. But it's the other one, I have no idea what. Like, half the time I don't even scroll up all the way.
Yeah.
Because it could be 8,000 things that I missed because I didn't look for 1 hour. And it's everywhere across the globe. So it's like at all hours of the night, it's like, well, the Australia contingent are going off right now. And then like the Europeans are going off now. And then like the West Coast, like you never know what's going on in there. So like having both is very helpful.
That is awesome. So last official question, I should say, is what is your advice for someone who's just getting started?
Like it. Like we all get into this for a reason, mm-hmm. and it all stems from we enjoy it. My personal philosophy, and this will probably be a hot take for some people, is if you're doing it to get attention, and this could be anything, nail art, food design, anything you're making a social media a profile for, if you're doing it for external attention, it's not going to work. It's either not going to be popular and you're going to feel demoralized, or it is going to be popular and then all the joy is sucked out of it. I think that you have to love doing it. So like, if you love doing it and it's popular, you hit the golden goose. But if 500 people are following you, if 5 people are following you, or if 10,000 people, if you're doing it for yourself, you will enjoy it. They're like, I'm not that, like, if I ever think, and I've probably stopped myself maybe 2 or 3 times of like, I should do this because, like, I'm going to buy myself a 30-pound magnet, but I'm not going to buy it now because it's popular. I want to buy it because I want to be able to do that technique, but I don't want to just do it because it's a fad. Like, eventually I did those, like, cartoon, like, 2D nails.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But I did it, like, I did it for a Skittle collab, and I did it with, like, bi-colors because it was during June. It was, like, 6 months after it came out as, like, a fad. And if I like the fad, I'll do it, but not for the fad reason. Like, if I'm doing it to get likes, I'm going to be disappointed no matter what. And if I really love it, I don't care how many people like it. I think like one of the ones I worked the most on was in December. I did Legends of the Hidden Temple shirt.
Yes, it was so good. I love that one.
And it is like one of the least liked posts I have.
Disgusting.
And I
why?
Give zero craps because I spent like 7 hours painting them, just binging Legends of the Hidden Temple on Paramount Plus, just being like, here we go. I'm just going to enjoy myself and like purple parrot myself into joy. And then it was like, you got like 52 likes. I was like, cool.
Cool.
Like, I had fun. I don't care if you did or not. If you liked it, great. If you didn't, pop off, sis.
Personally, I so loved just like, it.
Yes. And everyone that loved it, I'm like, you're my people. Yeehaw. Mm-hmm. And if it didn't go out there and like get the likes, I don't care because I'm doing it for myself. So I think at the end of the day, do it for yourself. I think if you're dealing with the system, consistency works, whether it's posting, how many times you post, or what it looks like. I'm anal retentive. That's why my layout is the way it is. And the more consistent it looks to me, I love when a grid, like, I haven't been able to plan it out, but part of me, like, for June wants to do my entire feed will be a monochromatic rainbow of like,
oh, that'd be so cool.
But like the planning on that is like, is that worth it? But like, I love, there is a drag queen, Canada season 1, Alona Verney. She had her Instagram was incredibly curated, and it would be like 9 posts of like pastel pink, and then it would verge into like a blend into purple, and then the next 9 would be purple. And it was like that for an entire year of the entire pastel rainbow. And I'm like, that is just so aesthetically pleasing. So for me, that's why I do it. But Instagram and social media does reward consistency. So like, if you're gonna, if you want like an inside scoop, consistent posting and content is like a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to like it, like what you do and like doing it.
Definitely.
And if you don't, I don't know, go get a Pop-Tart and watch TV and choose something else to do.
Mm-hmm. Definitely get a Pop-Tart.
Yeah, what's your favorite like your kind hobby. Of
Pop? I'm turning it on you. Favorite Pop-Tart flavor?
Strawberry.
Oh, cinnamon. Cinnamon correct. Sugar for
wrong.
Okay.
Incorrect.
I ate that in college, and like it kind of turns my stomach now because I ate too much of it in college.
I feel that way about vanilla wafers.
Ooh, I like the fruit ones because I need the contrast, the tartness. That's why
yes.
I like. I'll eat one slice of cake, but I'll eat a whole pie. Like if it's a cherry pie, because it's the contrast of like sweet and tart, and it's balanced. Like cake is so like a s'mores. That's too sweet for me.
I love a s'mores.
I'll eat like half of one, but like I'll eat a whole box of cherry Pop-Tarts.
Sorry, this is completely a personal question. We can cut this. Apples and cheese. Do you eat them
yes.
together as a snack?
Yeah.
It's a normal
not
thing, right?
Regular, yep. but yeah.
But mm-hmm. like it's a normal thing.
When you go to fondue, yeah. dip it in the cheese.
Apples and cheese is a normal thing that people eat.
People put cheddar on pies. Is that what you're going to say?
People put cheddar on apple pie.
Yeah.
I've never seen that, but I'd be down for it. No, all I asked for last night for my husband was a sliced apple and some slices of cheese to have as a snack.
And then you get like a crunchy something. You get a spicy something, a sweet, a like yeah, some like craisins. Exactly. It's so helpful.
He was just arguing with me nonstop about how weird that was. So
tell
sorry.
Him, not weird, he's weird.
Make him clean up the lizard poop.
Yes. Do it. All
that's
right. It is time for our 10 questions.
Yes.
Whee! All right. I'm going to ask you 10 questions that I first saw on Inside the Actors Studio as asked by James Lipton. And he first saw on French television, Bernard Pivot's show, Apostrophes. And it's after the Proust questionnaire. I need to like get like a set thing that I do, but I want to be like fancy like him.
Just
but
record it so and you can just hit play.
That's what I've been trying to do with some stuff actually. But anyway, let's get into these questions. What is your favorite word?
Oh no. I don't know if I have a favorite word. My favorite word is random noises.
Love it. What is your least favorite word?
Work.
Yeah.
This
with
does
an
not...
O. If it's with an E, yes.
It's a different
that's one of your favorite
work.
Words.
Yes. Work. I don't like work.
Work.
This is how RuPaul is trying to turn the world to capitalism by making us let that work. Yeah.
You all
it's like
better
we just changed
earn.
One little letter.
Earn. Yes. What turns you on?
People that are genuine. I can pick. I sniff it up. I sniff it like.
Like me with my box.
Like, yeah, you with your box or a truffle pig. Like, when people aren't genuine, this is going to answer your next question. So ask me the next question.
What turns you off?
When people aren't genuine. Like, if I feel like there's 3% fakeness coming at me, I immediately, like, the blast doors come down and I'm like, I don't need you or want you anywhere near me. And it's, like, guttural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that completely, actually.
Mm-hmm.
What sound or noise do you love?
Laughter.
Aw. What sound or noise do you hate?
Silence. Like, you can cut out all the silence. What noise do I hate or sound do I hate? I know all these questions, and I thought of them ahead of time, and I don't know.
I told you, somebody asked me these questions, I simply wouldn't.
I'd be like, oh.
This is going to be very specific, but it's the only thing I can think of. Besides, like, I feel like when people stir mac and cheese to make a noise that annoys people, it's the act of the noise doesn't bother me. It's the act of them doing that bothers me. But I think that the actual thing would be people arguing.
Mm.
Like, when people are not, like, empathetic and on, like, when they're not talking to, like, get to each other's level to have an understanding, when they're just, like, impatiently screaming like road rage or something like that. I think that's that also turns me off and is also the sound I hate.
So valid. Mm-hmm. You can get away with this one. What is your favorite curse word?
Oh, okay. I thought of this because I knew it was coming because I've watched the Actors Studio enough. My favorite school version. So this is for Danny. I will say son of a monkey. Like with the hardest stank. And I was like, son of a monkey. And the kids think that's hilarious. But it's just so versatile. It's egalitarian. Like everyone can use it. Every language, like it is a sentence in itself. It's an emphasis. It's a capital letter. Like,
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
As a teacher, I already have to do 80,000 things. Graphic design. I feel like I enjoy, like I already make like all of our social media posts and like designing a t-shirt and that like that. Like I'm already doing that and I fake it really well. One of our parents is a graphic designer and they're doing our program and they thought that I had a professional that did it. And when I told them that it was me on Microsoft Word and Paint, they were like, why do I even have a job? They're like, you did all of that. Like, I thought you had a professional that you paid to do that. I was like, no. So I can fake it like I do with my picture taking. So I think I would be good at that. And I have interest in it, which is why I already pretend to do it.
What profession would you not like to do?
Anything in the service industry. I firmly believe everyone needs to work retail or work in the restaurant industry. So you learn empathy to not be crap to them, to the workers. That's another thing. Like I'll take it. Instead of arguing, the sound of somebody being rude to their waiter or to a service person, that may, like, I am a nonviolent person, but I want to run you over in the parking lot if you do that. I know I could never do it, which is why I have a deep respect for the people that do. And I will be like endlessly nice to wait staff or someone working retail because I could never do it. And I also hate when people treat them like trash because they're the real trash. So I don't think I would ever, I would be fired within day one. The minute someone says like, well, this coupon, I'll be like, well, your face is dumb. Like I would just like, if they're trying to come after a retail worker, I would be like, the customer is 1000% wrong in this scenario. And then I'd be fired. So.
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at Pearly Gates?
You did good.
Aww.
In the multiple meanings that that could have.
I love that.
Or, you were wrong, I do exist.
That would be hysterical. All right. Thank you so much, Jeremy. This has been such an amazing interview. Thank you for validating both Danny and I in different ways. You validated my only using lacquer. You validated Danny's rainbow order storage system. Mm-hmm. We just feel so seen today.
I'm here for it. Thank you.
But yeah, where can everybody find you? What are your socials?
I am Aculed Nails on Instagram. And sometimes I'm on Reddit and I don't remember what it is, but it's all the same stuff as Instagram, so.
Sometimes you're there. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being here. And yeah, I think that's enough for today. Danny, take us out.
Thank you all so much for listening. Please check out our YouTube channel and leave a comment with your favorite moment, a story to share, and of course, any questions you'd like us to answer in future episodes.
Be sure to check out Danny and I on Twitch, Instagram, YouTube, and Patreon. I am Fanatic here. She is Danny Shout. Our guest was Aculid Nails. All of our links are in the description. Join us next time when we reveal what's inside my sniffin' box.
Stay lacquered.